What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Everybody eats. It's a big thing that Joe emphasizes. And you see it a lot, especially in practice. Some guys go off in practice, then another guy will go off in a different practice, another guy will go off in a different practice, and you would have thought that it would have been someone else's day, but you really don't know. You really don't know how your route is going to affect the play. You don't really know if you're even going to get the ball. You might be the last read and still might get the ball. So if anything, with this offense, you just have to be ready at all times, especially with Josh, because he'll throw it to anybody, and he can get it there.
Josh Palmer, Bills wide receiver Josh Palmer, comes in from the Chargers, of course. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. I've got some stuff on Palmer for you here in a moment. Reset where we've been today. Good morning. Watched the Bengals and Commanders last night. And yep. Burrow played again, led two scoring drives, got thrown to the ground a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if the Bengals have proven their point that they're not going to start slow this year. They also, of course, might trade Trey Hendrickson. There's some reporting. Diana Rossini was the latest that New England is not close on any one of the disgruntled superstars.
Nope.
They could probably use all of them, whether that's McLaurin, Hendrickson.
If I were there, I would desperately want them to do one of those deals.
Yes.
I've got $60 million in cap space, and I've got this fleet of good players that could be traded around the league. Like, go offer what it takes. Come on, let me go challenge the Bills. Or they do. Are they afraid because Miami did that and it's now over?
Isn't New England just exactly in a spot good enough to worry about trading their future first? How good are they going to be? This is a good point about the Bills. When did the Bills trade their first for Diggs? After they made the playoffs.
True. That's, after they won 10 games.
That's, we're a playoff team.
Yeah.
Trading our first, we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can gamble a little bit there. New England won 3 games last year.
They also traded their first when they knew it was going to be, right? Because
yes.
they traded it before the draft.
That's right.
After that playoff season, so they knew it was
22.
In the 20s.
Yep, yep.
So New England wouldn't know where it's going to be.
That's right. New England is, we think we might have a good year. McLaurin, Hendrickson, mm-hmm. we like Drake May. But they've picked 3rd overall in back-to-back seasons. And
true.
Making that gamble now, you might just be a little bit nervous about it. A little bit. Where it's,
mm-hmm.
yeah, we might make the playoffs. We do have a giant in our division, so it's wild card.
Right.
This pick is going to be 20 if we have a good season, 22. Mm-hmm. And if we have a bad season, if Drake May gets hurt or some stuff goes wrong, is that the 14th pick? All of a sudden that feels worse to them?
Sure.
This is where someone might accuse them of rushing the rebuild kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like right now, New England's got to feel like they're in a pretty good spot. The GM did say he's willing to make a big trade. I agree with you. If I'm there, I'm banging the table. Hendrickson, McLaurin, geez, Cam Hayward if they want it. I don't know.
Especially.
Parsons, anybody.
That pick could be top 10, and I would still feel decent about it if I got Parsons.
That's right.
Hendrickson, because he's 32, I might feel a little
you're
more.
You're New England. You are young enough. You mentioned all that cap space, and that's because the quarterback's on a rookie contract.
Yes.
You're going to have that cap space for a little while. If he ends up being good, figure it out at that point. You know, the cap will go up $80 million. So, yeah. 803-0550 is our phone number. Just a little thing on New England there. We've been talking about the Bills' defense, and basically, what's the standard for it being good? You know, you want it to be good. What is good look like, and how do you feel about this defensive overhaul? I want to clarify, I am not asking this in the wake of 38-0 against the Bears. The defense looked bad against the Bears. I don't really think about that game anymore. Like, it happened, it was bad, sure, but
whatever.
The Bishop conversation is happening. I had somebody write in about the Cole Bishop conversation, and this is something that tends to come with August.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Bartman. Who said, you know, you feel the football team to win games. You don't feel that, say, look at our sick defense. I hope they're better. But an entire region clenching about a second-year safety is nauseating. And I would just say about like the Cole Bishop conversation, I don't think that everybody here is clenching, to use his term. I think there's honest concern, questions about what's happening at safety. It was a problem last year. You brought everybody back with the idea that this one guy was going to be ready. And the biggest conversation about that position is whether or not this guy is going to be ready. It's still a conversation. He's not been on the field. The head coach says he needs the reps. And yesterday with us, Sal said that maybe Jordan Hancock could start to see some looks there. So I don't think anybody is panicking. You get fans that do that a lot. Oh, everybody's freaking out. I don't think there's a lot of freak out. I think we're just talking about a team that's going to try and win the Super Bowl and need to make stops against Lamar and Mahomes. Oh, they're still going to win 13 games. Yeah, we all kind of know that, but that's not really the game anymore. The game is, what are they going to do about this thing that might be a weakness? You don't think they're talking about Bishop inside the building? They're certainly talking about it. They're talking about how he needs reps. Maybe they're talking about how they have faith in it, but they're talking about it.
And he is, to me, the key to getting rid of a limitation that you had last year. What when they lined up to play the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, they wanted to throw a wrinkle in of playing more man coverage. And their safety, at least Hamlin, if not Rapp too, got exposed. At multiple times, Kansas City getting him on a receiver, and it's just good night. It's not even close. Bishop is not, I don't think, supposed to be like a guy that could cover those receivers man on man and do well every time. But he's a player that I would think with his athleticism, can you hold your own? Because I know Hamlin or even Rapp in coverage in that situation is going to get exposed. Is going to get, like, that's where the ball is going 100% of the time. This guy, like, all right, can you cover him every third time? Every other time and do well at that so that I can play man and not be terrified of it? Because that's kind of how last year went. And just, is there any sign that you should feel confident about that? That he's going to be an upgrade over what you had? He's different. He's more athletic. He's younger. I might get more mental mistakes and more splash plays. Maybe that's not a bad thing. I don't know if it's a great thing.
You're painting Kyer Elam.
A little bit,
right? Like splash plays and mistakes.
I think that might be what we're headed for if he's on the field.
Well, the thing about the safety position also that separates it from the rest of the defensive conversation is it's the piece of the defense that really didn't get any attention this offseason. You got Derek Forrest. That's really it, right? What happened at defensive end?
And Hancock.
Jordan Hancock.
But we didn't even know he was a safety. Right.
He's nickel, maybe safety, whatever. But what did the defensive line get? Let's just go ends. Bosa, Landon Jackson.
Yeah.
Michael Hoyt, kinda.
Michael Hoyt.
Defensive tackle, what did they get? Ogunjobi, Sanders, Deion Walker. Like three premium assets. Linebacker, the Bills don't play a lot of linebackers, and they didn't add any because it's because
they have two.
They have two. Right. And they don't really need anything there. Secondary, what did they get? First round pick, Trey White. Mm-hmm. Dane Jackson. These guys are returning, but they're guys that were not on the team that they brought back.
They tried to get Jair Alexander at one point.
So
they were going after it.
They upgraded. They paid attention to a lot of spots, and the one spot that they kept the same, and this might actually give you confidence if you want to go there. That's fine. The one spot they kept the same was safety. Like, they didn't make any change there. It's Rapp and Bishop. And we've talked a few times going back to the draft that 24, 48 hours before the draft – where the conversation was a lot about Malachi Starks, Sal came on and said, guys, they like their room. They like their room. They're not going to do that. They like who they've got. Starks didn't ultimately make it to them where they picked, so you know we don't have to necessarily know what they would have done, but I trust Sal and Sal in the know. They like their guys. So the idea was we're going to run it back at safety and we're just going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what we're waiting to see, if they're going to be better there. But in the preseason so far, it's – here's, I guess, the one way to say it. It started the same way last year did, which is Bishop not on the field.
Right.
And Hamlin showing, you know, what he is, a reasonable backup.
And by default being the guy, because wasn't it Mike Edwards that we thought they wanted to start anyway?
Yes.
And he got injured too. So Hamlin has to play by default. Again, it's kind of crazy, though, that like all these, they like Rapp more. Okay, they clearly do. They paid him a contract, and he's never questioned. But any grading or any numbers on their safeties from last year show that DeMar Hamlin and Taylor Rapp are like exactly the same. They're exactly the same player. Maybe Rapp is flying around a little bit more, and Hamlin is more the mental stuff. But like their results, exactly the same. But yet, one guy is like entrenched. He's a starting safety, and the other guy is, you know, I mean, is he even on the roster?
Well, I think Rapp would make opposing players think twice. I mean, he's somebody that he hits hard.
Yep.
Hamlin.
He flies around.
Hamlin actually used to be that. I remember the first introduction to Hamlin was him getting a targeting penalty, maybe. He was a guy that did that from time to time.
At least it was that one. I remember that one play.
That one play. Maybe just one play that sticks out of my mind, like in his rookie season, maybe.
But really, like, it's what do they want to be also? We all think they want Poyer and Hyde again, right? But how much do they really feel like they need it? Because having two safeties that good, not just for the Bills, in the NFL, is rare. To have two guys that long, especially. But like that position, there's a reason why Taylor Rapp is paid so little. There's a reason why those salaries are so down at that position. Is and guys don't often go early in the first round. It's kind of a big thing, I think, when Hamilton.
Yep.
Where does Hamilton even go? Kyle Hamilton's going to go like fifth overall.
No, I went, you know, mid-late first round.
The value of that position is pushed down a little bit. It's almost kind of treated like the running back of the defense. Like, we think we can just get by at this position and be okay. That's how a lot of teams do it, but
it's not how every team does it.
Not every team. And my surprise is that the Bills have kind of done that the last 2 years, because they, I've always felt like, were a team that would never do it that way. That the second Hyde and Poyer left or weren't as good anymore, like, they're going after that position. They're getting a star, or they're doing first-round stuff. Like, they're going to go after it. And it's been more for 2 years now, even 3 years. Like, no, we're just good with going with, you know, replacement-level guys and being okay. And one second round pick at it.
Yeah, and with, I'm looking up Micah Hyde's like contract history, because when the Bills signed him to a deal,
it was decent, right?
It was.
But it wasn't like top of the position.
No, but it was $6 million per year.
Which then,
in
for safety.
2017.
Yeah.
And right now, Rapp is less than $4 million. So evolution of the position, how much you want to pay, I get all that. You know, as you're laying that out, I think about one team that, you're right. What do they want to be? Do they want to be a team that uses their safeties in such a way that it can dictate everything else that they do? They had been that. I don't know if they can be that still. They might want to be, but just kind of waiting to get there. What did Baltimore, you mentioned Kyle Hamilton. They took Starks.
Right.
They
so that's two first-round safeties.
Two first-round safeties.
That's
out there.
Very – it's a lot more.
It's a lot more invested in the position. Again, you can build a football team every way you want. We can't sit here and say we want them to build with wide receivers in the first and safeties in the first and defensive ends in the first. You got to make your choices. This is something Brandon Bean has to do and his staff have to do, is pick how they want to do it.
Well, and also, like, I don't know that the Bills didn't want desperately to get Kyle Hamilton. He went 14th overall. How are the Ravens there? Are they trading up for him? They must have been, right? No, that's the year Lamar is hurt. They missed the playoffs. So they're picking 14th. The Bills haven't had that season. If Josh had injuries 3 years ago and they missed the playoffs in some fluke year and they're picking 14th, they might have Kyle Hamilton on the team right now. So for in that one specific instance, that might be part of the reason why they don't have him. And like you said, we don't know what they would have done at 30 this year.
803-0550, our phone number, and 1-888-550-2550.
I will say Dax Hill and Lewis Cine, though, were first-round picks that same season the Bills passed on when they went with Elam.
Dax Hill to Cincinnati?
Yep.
And Cine, of course, who was here for a little while after he left Minnesota.
Right, right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Phil in Buffalo. Hey, Phil.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, McDermott's defense over the years, that kind of bend-don't-break kind of approach, the safeties have to take the right angle and make sure they make the tackle when the running back gets into that second-tier level, and then don't let the long pass beat you. I mean, that's really what they ask their safeties to do. They don't ask them to do a lot more, and that's really all you need for in that defense. Of course, it'd be great if they got something a little bit more than that, but that's all they've really wanted over the last several years, it seems like to me.
Yeah, that's what they've wanted to be, and I think we still think that's probably what they want to be, right? They don't want big plays over the top. They want to keep everything in front of you, and we're going to run at you with our fist held high like a boxer and try to punch the ball out. Like I still feel like that at their core is what they want to be. And for that, I think that, though, is part of the equation as to why it's important to them for their safeties to have reps and experience in the system and be locked in with communication between the two so that you don't have a play like last year in Houston where Nico Collins is a 75-yard touchdown over your heads. They've never allowed plays like that. And I have to think part of how they treat safety with all the experience, playing together, all of that, is so that plays like that never happen. And they've been very good at letting that never, ever happen. So when you've got a guy that, you know, I'll go back and watch, see if there was someone else that was on the hook too. Bishop gets the blame for that Nico Collins play. And that play lives in my head as like, yeah, that's part of the reason why he doesn't play last year. It's because they're afraid of that play with him. And Damar Hamlin might get exposed in man coverage and might not be that athletic to come up and make big plays. But why is he on the field? Because they have more faith that that doesn't happen when he's out there.
803-0550. Thanks, Phil, for the phone call. All right, to the Josh Palmer thing that I owe you. So the Bills signed Josh Palmer this offseason. He's on the team. He's, I think, one of the most entrenched ideas at receiver they've got. Mm-hmm. Can play on the outside. Matt Harmon at Reception Perception just charted Palmer last year with the Chargers. And he had not done Palmer since the 2021 season.
That was his big year, I think.
Usually you have to, you know, rate on a level to be, whatever, get the breakdown from Harmon. He's not doing every single receiver in the league. I don't think Mac Hollins gets a page, you know, due respect. So he finally gets to Palmer. And if you subscribe to Reception, I do. I mean, I would suggest anybody that likes dynasty fantasy football and wants to draft receivers and build that way and trade for the right receivers, like he does great stuff, and that's fantasy. But what Harmon does is, you know, watch the tape, break down success rate, alignments, what they do, how well they win. And he writes, of course, the Bills are hoping Palmer is more than just a fourth receiver because he's a third and fourth guy in L.A. And last year, his percentile, his numbers for beating man, zone, and press are not exactly great. He was not very good at beating zone. He was not very good at beating man coverage either. Like, this is the Bills' man beater. And last year, Harmon sampling Palmer says he beat man coverage on the 29th percentile, which is not very good.
No, it's not.
He did beat press coverage pretty well, so he's got some ability there.
Okay.
And what he points out is, it's funny, like he almost treats the Bills like they are a different passing game than most teams.
Okay.
This player can do this, but what the Bills do is this and this and this. And he even relates Palmer's potential fit and success as, if he can get the Bills to put Coleman in the slot, it's a win. He is still one of these guys bullish on, okay, Coleman should be a big slot,
yeah,
and shouldn't be the X. And he says Palmer, if Palmer gets to be an X, you can live with him at the starting X receiver spot. It's not great. He's okay. He does deep in-breaking routes. Basically, what you're going to get from Palmer is more stuff down the field, and the intermediate stuff might not be so great. So slants and curls, that's actually Coleman's department. And posts and deep digs, that's where Palmer might win. So it'll be interesting to see. He basically kind of says, if you're thinking this guy is a huge, massive breakout candidate, I wouldn't buy it. Looks like a nice role player. Stop me if you've heard this before. The Bills receiving group is a bunch of role players. And Palmer as the man-beater role player might even be a little bit oversold on how well he can beat man. His contested catch rate, his drop rate, like things last year for him, flaws, doesn't separate at a high enough level to be considered a true cornerstone perimeter receiver. Again, stop me if you've heard that before.
Yeah.
Like, that's the Bills. They kind of, it's almost like they don't think separation matters much because they've invested heavily in Coleman, who I still think can be successful in different ways. Hollins had a good season despite not really separating for them. He was a bit of a surprise. And here's Palmer, the man beater. And, you know, maybe the idea of him being the man beater is not at every route, not all over the field and the entire route tree, but just pretty good at separating on deeper stuff, but you know, middle of the road, middle range stuff for Palmer, it might be a bit of a heavy lift.
But if he can do it in the deeper game, I mean, that's the one area they didn't have anybody that could do that at all last year.
He writes, he's capable of helping this team on vertical in-breaking, and it's the type of competitive wideout that they have needed against press coverage.
Okay.
So that's, what do I think about? I think about 3rd and 10 in Kansas City last year.
Yeah.
What do they need? They need a guy that can maybe get 10 yards, get down the field on a deeper route, not a screen to Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
They need a guy that if a team like the Chiefs says, time to press, nobody can beat press. Coleman's not beating press.
No.
Palmer might. So, role player. Not totally complimentary, not totally terrible, just like a, interesting. The way the Bills do this, you know, if they could use him in the right way, rip shots over the middle of the field. Deep digs.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll
he's not necessarily saying just straight vertical, though, right?
Like what he's, I get best. Basically, I guess what I'm, what I want to say is, when
like,
when,
his route is his route tree, Gabe Davis's route tree. I guess is what I want to ask.
I don't know. I'd have to pull that up
because that sounds a lot of like the stuff that Gabe Davis used to do. Everything is 10 plus yards down the field. Those in breakers that he would run, but like 15 yards down the field.
Yeah,
high yards per reception numbers at the end of it.
Okay, I've got. I'll just pull that up real quickly. The answer to your question is maybe yes.
Because, like, Davis, what I'm wondering is, should I reset a little bit on Palmer and think, like, 2 years ago?
No, not the same.
Not the same at all?
Gabe,
okay, good.
Gabe's most recent season with the Bills, I would say depth of the field, that might be it. But the difference is,
but the types of routes are different.
Not just that, but man beater. In Gabe's last season with the Bills, Harmon put his man percentage beater at the 7th percentile.
Ooh.
And his press coverage at the 12th percentile.
And Palmer was what against?
59 on press. Yeah. Like, good against press, not great against man. So, again, you take it for what it's worth. What do I get out of reading this breakdown from Matt Harmon? The term man beater seems to be a catch-all that, like, oh, okay, he's just going to get open all the time. I don't think that's the kind of receiver he is what Harmon's saying. I don't think he's that, but he can still be very good. He can still be a nice role player, which the Bills' offense tends to be. Josh Allen and a lot of role players.
Yeah.
803-0550. On the Panthers, when we return, checking in 14 teams in 14 days. Darren Gant, Panthers.com on Carolina. The Bills head to Carolina.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Carolina this year, and I think a lot of you are taking golf trips down there.
Yeah.
I got family going. My wife said to me, you're going on that golf trip in Carolina, right? And I said, I don't have any plans for that.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out she made plans as if I was already going to go.
Yeah.
Now I feel like I have to go.
My mom is talking, like, assuming, like, oh, you're coming down, right?
Carolina.
For that week.
It'd be a good trip. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, October, Carolina. A lot of potential golf. All right. 803-0550 on the Panthers and Falcons at 9 o'clock as well. Your phone call's mixed in. 803-0550 on WGR.
JT Sanders, the tight end. Third and goal. Pocket collapsing. Young Rowland directing traffic. Throws to Coker for a Carolina touchdown.
Bills go to Carolina this year. We're going to do 14 teams in 14 days, checking in with each of the Bills' opponents along the way. 14 teams, 14 days, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Get a Northtown... hold on one second. Sorry. Get a Northtown Engine Shield Engine Protection Warranty on new and used vehicles at Northtown. Northtown Automotive. 14 teams, 14 days. Up next, the Carolina Panthers. And joining us on the Western Hotline is Darren Gant, who is covers the Panthers for Panthers.com. Darren, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Thank you for taking some time today.
Absolutely. How you doing, fellas?
Doing good. My first question on the Panthers, I imagine this is something that you'd get a lot from people on the outside looking in, is how stark was the switch from Bryce Young looks like there's not much going on there to, oh, okay, never mind. you know, resume course, number one overall pick, maybe this thing could work out. Was it as drastic as it seemed from the outside looking in?
To put it briefly, yes, it was that stark. I mean, what we saw the first two games, he didn't look like a guy who was a first-round pick or, you know, even a starting quarterback in the NFL. But when he came back, he was playing really well. I mean, second half of the year, Bryce was a perfectly competent to good NFL quarterback out there. And, you know, I think they changed some things. They started changing the way they used him. They put him in some advantageous positions. They began that in the offseason. He didn't take advantage of it early, but they began that in the offseason by spending $150 million on guards. And that took them from an offensive line that gave up 65 sacks the year before to 36 last year, and the difference was pretty immediate. And Bryce was good the second half. It wasn't good with qualifiers. It wasn't good, but it was just good the second half. I mean, that game, what was it, 10 touchdowns, no interceptions the last three. That last game against Michael Penix and the Falcons was pretty phenomenal, two young quarterbacks going at it. And I think it's worth remembering that when I say two young quarterbacks, Bryce is the younger one of the two, even though Penix was a rookie.
Yeah. There was a lot of pressure also around, like, the draft class itself. It goes Young and then Stroud. And, you know, I wonder how much that kind of weighed on anybody there. Like, Stroud had a really great rookie season. It ends up looking like, well, you made the wrong pick. And that feels like, Darren, that kind of pressure, even if Bryce Young's not saying he's feeling it, it's almost kind of really impossible to ignore.
Well, I mean, those two guys are friends. So, I mean, the idea that there's any kind of tension in the dynamic between them or anything, that's not real. I mean, the reality is, if you would have asked 30 other general managers prior to that draft, Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud, the answer was universally Bryce Young. I think because of the way things played out, there's been some revisionist history. But realistically, if the Houston Texans, I mean, that's been reported out well by my old friend John McClain down in Houston. If the Texans had picked first, they were taking Bryce, and then C.J. would have landed in Charlotte, and C.J. Stroud would have landed in a Charlotte that didn't work out because Frank Reich and that staff that he put together just never made it through the first season. And, you know, the situation is everything, and that's why they've done such an intentional job of putting pieces around Bryce. I mean, not just those offensive linemen. You spend a couple of first-round picks on wide receivers in XL, Xavier Leggett and Teteroa McMillan, and they think they've got something going on offense. You've got a couple of thousand-yard backs in Chuba Hubbard, Rico Dowdle. You know, they've created the conditions for any quarterback to succeed, and so far Bryce has succeeded in the time he's been in there with those guys.
Would you expect, you mentioned McMillan, he goes eighth overall, would you expect him right out of the gates as a rookie to be what they drafted him for, which is to help propel Bryce Young to another level?
Well, I think he's got the opportunity. He's got, I mean, listen, this guy's got pterodactyl wingspan. He's got long arms. He can go get it. He makes these very casual one-handed catches just when he's screwing around in warm-ups. You know, he's just goofing around, and all of a sudden balls stop flying when they get near him because he's just plucked them out of the air one-handed. He's got that opportunity, but again, it's a really deep group when you look at. There's still an Adam Thielen around, and that's a guy capable of being a high-volume wide receiver. You know, XL has done a lot of work this offseason. He was, you know, maybe best known late in the year outside of Charlotte for that drop in Philadelphia late in the game that kept them from beating the Eagles, and those guys were okay. So I think he's done a lot of work. You know, he became a devotee of the jugs machine. He was spending the entire offseason catching balls. So they've got a bunch of targets, and I think the Panthers are always, you know, Bryce, when he was coming out of college at Alabama, was known as that spread it around guy, not just a lock into one receiver. And he certainly got the cast around him to be able to do that here.
Darren Kent, Panthers.com. What's a good season for Carolina this year?
Improvement is a good season for the Carolina Panthers. They went from 2 wins to 5. Last year, if you go from 5 to 7 or 8 and get better on the other side of the ball, I think you can call that a reasonably successful season. It's been a tough go for the last few years, partially because they hadn't settled on a course. There was a lot of change in quarterbacks. I mean, keep in mind, this is the Carolina Panthers team that started Teddy Bridgewater, then Sam Darnold, then Baker Mayfield before they ever got to to Bryce Young. So there's been a lot of instability. They've settled in on a group now. This is the first time since 2019, believe it or not, that the same GM, head coach, and quarterback have gone into two seasons in a row. So they have settled into this course. They're going to continue to develop these guys, and we'll see what happens. They did a lot of work. You know, a year ago, all the work was done investing in that offensive line. This offseason, it was fixing the defense, and they went out and spent heavily on guys at every level of the defense. You know, five free agents who were going to be regulars came in on the first day, two pass rushers in the second and third round. So, yeah, they've been intentional about the work, and I just think they need to continue that kind of steady progress to make this thing sustainable for the long haul.
I saw them mentioned in a report the other day about Trey Hendrickson. Those guys so rarely move, the big name contract dispute guys, but should one be moved, would you expect Carolina to still be looking to improve even this late in the offseason?
Yeah, what do you want me to do, the coach speak cliche? You know, you're always looking to improve your roster at every position. I don't know that they're necessarily in that kind of realm. I don't know that Trey Hendrickson's going to get moved. One of the things that's funny to me is somebody who's done this, you know, grew up in newspapers and been doing this for a long time. We've now created an economy where people just make stuff up. And we do hypothetical trades all the time. And a lot of this stuff never comes to fruition. But it makes for good content, I guess, from April through August. So it keeps a lot of people employed. And I would never do anything to diminish the economy.
We do need it. We need these trades. We need potential trades this time of year. Darren Gant on the Carolina Panthers, panthers.com, as the Bills will make a trip to Carolina for the first time in a long time. And that means
give me a break.
What?
People from Buffalo are making the trip to Charlotte every day. I can't swing a dead
true.
Cat in this town without hitting a Bill sticker on the back of the car.
That's what I was going to say. Like, are there a lot of takeovers there in Carolina? Because I would imagine that Bills fans are ready to take over. And I think I've even gotten reports that tickets are very expensive for this game, just because it's not exactly a regular occurrence going down there.
Well, and also, it's going to be a beautiful fall afternoon in Charlotte, right. North Carolina, the center of the universe. That's why you people keep coming here, right?
Yeah.
No, it's great. We love our friends in Buffalo, Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, and so many of our old friends end up there. It's kind of a reverse migration in terms of football, but no, it's always interesting. I mean, the Bills fans are passionate. They're on a hot streak right now, so they deserve it.
Yeah.
I love Charlotte, North Carolina. This is home. And I understand why so many people want to come here.
All right. Darren Gant, we'll talk maybe closer to the game, and best of luck to the Panthers this season. Thanks, Darren.
Yep, sounds good. See y'all.
All right, Darren Gant, panthers.com. Bills and Carolina. Last time Carolina was good. Cam Newton, that's right.
Got to be Cam Newton.
Can I give you the stat of the day?
Sure. Go ahead.
I got a stat of the day. You already know what it is.
I do, yeah.
Stat of the day. It's we kind of found our way to this conversation about the Bills defense. So, stat of the day is powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit empireelectricians.com. I would classify this as a stat that I think I knew this, but I didn't know that I knew this until I checked to see that, yeah, that's right. Here it is. Yeah. It's just this. The last Bills Pro Bowler on the defensive line, not all pro, Pro Bowler.
Pro Bowl.
The Bills' last Pro Bowler on the defensive line was Kyle Williams.
Yeah. Yes, he was.
That's kind of wild. For a defensive head coach, a team that I know they have the amazing quarterback and they've had some studs over there, but they've invested a lot in their defensive line over the years. And Vaughn probably does make it if he doesn't get the knee injury in Detroit, but
yeah,
they don't have a single Pro Bowler on their defensive line.
No. And Pro Bowl's not usually that hard to make.
It's not the same as quarterback where 10 guys get invited, but
yeah, Kyle Williams in 2018 is the last.
So they haven't really... And that's a guy that was a holdover from forever. So
yeah.
They've not added a guy that's was able to finish the season in the Pro Bowl on the defensive line.
No. No, and I mean, look at the names. I'm looking at a list of, like, Pro Bowlers since then. So they've had 24 Pro Bowlers since their last Pro Bowl defensive lineman. Some of those are repeat. Like, Allen is on here a bunch.
Six times.
But 24 Pro Bowl selections since their last defensive line selection. Roger Saffold made a Pro Bowl, by the way, for the Bills.
All right.
How about that? How many people even remembered him on him being a Bill?
I do.
A full year starting Bill at guard. He's that, like, whenever we go through the guards that they rip through, I never think of him.
Yeah.
Dawkins is on here a bunch. Diggs is on here a bunch. Knox is on here. Morse, Milano, Poyer. No defensive linemen. Andre Roberts is on here.
Andre Roberts.
How about that?
Okay. 803-0550.
Ed Oliver hasn't made a Pro Bowl.
That's what I'm saying. Like
a Pro Bowl?
It's kind of wild. Not one.
I mean, he had a 9.5 sack season.
Leonard Floyd had a great season. Didn't make it.
That's right. Man, if I told you, hey, the Bill, something about Oliver lately is just getting to me. If I told, I think it is the draft pick, but it's if I told you in 2019 you pick him 9th overall and you're going to be 6 years into this thing and he hasn't made a Pro Bowl, how you feel?
Like
you feel like really? I wouldn't sign up for that.
Yeah, you might. 803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. Jeremy and Joe, that was our 14 teams in 14 days. We're doing another one at 9 o'clock with the Falcons. Bills go to Atlanta for a primetime game, which will be a ton of fun. Bills fans, just getting the scouting reports on these teams. You're going to go invade and dominate their fan bases. That's all.
We're going to invade Atlanta?
Yes.
I would like to see the stadium. Like, that stadium would be top five stadiums I'd want to go see.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. And the,
concessions
are cheap, which is a nice selling point.
Right.
More of your phone calls, wide open phones for you next, and the Falcons check-in coming up 9 o'clock here on WGR.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Okay, a couple things. Bills Wire news. Elena Getzenberg, ESPN, tweeting out a bit ago that the Bills worked out four players today. Wide receiver Grant DuBose, wide receiver Mekhi Polk, running back Jarvion Howard, and running back Ricky Person.
Okay.
Quick answer to the question you might have. Why would they do that? My guess is people to play on Saturday.
That makes sense.
Right? Here, take the
Remember,
ball.
Remember Anthony Brown, who played like the whole fourth preseason game last year?
Yeah, I just... Anybody go out there. The Bills have injuries at receiver. They're thin at receiver. They probably want to just get whoever out there. That'd be my guess. However.
That's probably not what this is.
However.
Jordan Schultz tweeting 34 seconds ago. Sources. The Bills are expected to host wide receiver Gabe Davis on a free agent visit this week after he meets with the Steelers today. Gabe Davis, free agent visit this week with the Bills after visiting with Pittsburgh.
I can bring my jersey out of retirement.
There you go.
He's going to wear the same number?
I am unable to speak on... I don't... What? All right. Okay. You can't get mad at free agent visits. You can't get mad at... I can be as upset about Gabe Davis visiting, which I'm not upset about, as I am that Grant DuBose is visiting. Or, right? They worked him out today.
Well,
what's the difference? The difference
is Gabe Davis isn't coming in just to play the fourth preseason game.
What's he coming for? A roster spot?
Yeah. I mean, Pittsburgh, he starts tomorrow, doesn't he? So you're competing with that. He has to have a reason to come here. He's not gonna pass on Pittsburgh. He's not even gonna come to Buffalo if he doesn't think there's a roster spot available because Pittsburgh could give him a starting job tomorrow. I'm not saying he would start here. I'm saying, yes, he would get a roster spot here. If he's visiting, yes. Especially this time of the year.
What?
Practice squad? Like, you can't do that.
No. We got to break in. Good. I need time.
He needs to take a breath.
I feel like I need a moment. I'm gonna go walk outside.
Hey, maybe Pittsburgh will just sign him today.
I don't. Sure, fine. What? What? Why?
Gabe How? Davis, everybody.
I'm over here trying.
13, I think, is available.
No,
I don't see anybody on the roster wearing 13. Which is amazing. There's 90 players.
Make sure you clip this.
Oh wait, Jalen Virgil's wearing 13.
Clip this for YouTube and all the shorts. You can just have like the unintelligible noises. What am I supposed to do with this?
We didn't get the blinking lights and the siren. Breaking news alert for Gabe Davis visiting. Disappointing.
I don't want to talk about it. We're gonna come back and talk about the Falcons. That is right.
Literally, he's
that
not
is,
making
that
a joke.
Is going to
we
happen.
We actually are doing that.
And then we have to give me time to. What? Why? Why are we talking about receiver? You hit the button. I can't. What? What?
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.